Support for the New Hampshire News Recap comes from you, our listeners, and from New Hampshire Community Loan Fund, inviting the public to On Notice, Inside the 60 Days of Forming a Resident-Owned Community, a virtual presentation on May 8th. More details at communityloanfund.org/onnotice.
This is Morning Edition on NHPR. I'm Rick Ganley, and this is the New Hampshire News Recap. President Donald Trump has been outspoken about fighting anti-Semitism, but it continues to creep into politics nationally and here in New Hampshire. That's according to a new NPR investigation of a state lawmaker who tried to get a Holocaust denial conspiracy theory into public school lesson plans. Tom Dreisbach broke this story, and he joins us over Zoom now to talk about that. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning.
Tom, tell us more about this lawmaker, Matt Saborin Deschwanier. How did he introduce this conspiracy theory to the legislature?
Well, earlier this year, Matt Saborin Deschwanier, he's a Republican from Seabrook, New Hampshire. He appeared at a committee hearing where they were discussing extending the state's Holocaust and Genocide Education Commission. It's a commission that basically helps schools connect them with curricula and other material, teaching plans, lesson plans about the Holocaust and other genocides. And it was generally expected to be a pro forma committee hearing, but then Saborin Deschwanier proposed that the commission add a new member, specifically a member of a Holocaust denial activist group. He was then followed by some of his associates who argued that the Holocaust story, that the history, is in fact a hoax. One of those individuals that he introduced is named Germar Rudolph. He is a German Holocaust denier who argues that there were no gas chambers used by the Nazis to commit the mass murder of 6 million Jews during the Holocaust. And so these individuals then pushed this Holocaust denial line, which is widely considered a form of anti-Semitic conspiracy theory.
Well, what did you learn about him? What did you learn about Germar Rudolph?
Well, Germar Rudolph, his history really goes back to the 90s with his Holocaust denial activism. And let me just sort of lay that out, the terms of what that means in his case. He argues against an overwhelming amount of historical evidence, historical research, that the Holocaust is, in his view, a hoax, that 6 million Jews, the estimate of mainstream Holocaust researchers, that 6 million Jews were not killed in the Holocaust, that there were no gas chambers used to kill people at Auschwitz. That is false based on all historical evidence, but Rudolph has argued that it is a myth, essentially, and he has had a long career of Holocaust denial activism in Germany, in Europe, and now in the U.S. He started to gain additional traction in the U.S. in recent years. But as we found, he has a criminal record in the U.S. For open lewdness and indecent exposure. This relates to an incident where he was found at a children's playground around 4 a.m. in Pennsylvania, naked from the waist down. He was found guilty of those charges in a criminal trial. He subsequently pleaded guilty to separate criminal cases of trespassing on school grounds and disorderly conduct. And so he has this criminal record in the U.S. that did not deter Representative Saborin Deschwanier from inviting him to the New Hampshire State Legislature and essentially proposing that he join the Holocaust and Genocide Education Commission.
So what do we know about Saborin Deschwanier's record on anti-Semitism or Holocaust denial?
Well, Saborin Deschwanier was first elected in 2024. Like I said, he is affiliated with the Free State Movement. And what we know is mostly from what he proposed in this instance. I asked him because Holocaust denial is widely considered a form of anti-Semitism and a conspiracy theory at that. And I asked him if he was promoting hatred. He denied that he did. But on his Facebook page, it's easy to find things that many people would consider anti-Semitic. He posted a video, for example, of a traditionalist Catholic priest saying that Jews are, quote, the Antichrist. He claimed that he was posting controversial content. It doesn't necessarily mean that he endorses it, but I think many people would consider between his Holocaust denial proposal and some of his commentary on social media that he at least has promoted or helped platform anti-Semitic views.
How did lawmakers on either side of the aisle respond to you when you reached out to them?
I didn't get a whole lot of response from Republicans in the state house. Reached out to the Republican Party of New Hampshire, and they did not respond to my request for comment. Governor Kelly Ayotte did respond. She condemned Holocaust denial and anti-Semitism and said she did not support the idea of any criminal Holocaust deniers, in her words, appearing on the state commission. Democrats, however, did speak to me. One of them is Lauren Selig, Representative Lauren Selig from the Durham area. She is a member of the Holocaust Commission, also a Democrat, and she told me that she was absolutely shocked by this proposal. I also spoke with Anita Burrows. She's also a Democrat from the White Mountains region. She said that she was particularly offended by this proposal because she has relatives who were killed in the Holocaust, and she said that this kind of behavior does not belong in the State House of New Hampshire.
Now, in the end, this conspiracy theory did not end up in school lesson plans, and Rudolph was not added to the Commission on Holocaust and Genocide Education. But are you aware of any consequences Soborin Deschwanier is facing for even introducing these anti-Semitic claims to the State House?
He has not faced, as far as we can tell, any consequences for putting forth this proposal in the State House. We reached out, like I said, to the state Republican Party. They didn't respond. And Democratic lawmakers told me there's no sign that he has faced any sort of backlash from Republican leadership. Some Democrats in the State House say that he should potentially lose committee assignments, which is a consequence some other lawmakers have faced in the past. Anita Burrows, Democratic state rep, said she doesn't think he has a place in the State House at all. But so far, we haven't seen any kind of movement towards disciplining him in the state legislature over this incident.
So anti-Semitism is an issue not only in national politics, but as we're hearing here at state legislatures. How is this playing out in other state houses?
Well, across the country, we've really seen a broad rise in anti-Semitic behavior across the spectrum, both on the political left and on the political right. But what survey data from both the Conservative Manhattan Institute and Yale University has suggested is that there's a particular growth of anti-Semitic behavior and views on the young right. Young conservatives in particular seem to be embracing anti-Semitic conspiracy theories like Holocaust denial is just one example. And we've seen certain members of the Trump administration have ties to anti-Semitic extremists. People might think of figures like Nick Fuentes. And now increasingly more mainstream figures have embraced versions of open anti-Semitism, including Tucker Carlson and Candace Owens, who are tremendously popular online. And so we've really seen across the country a broad rise in anti-Semitism. And what I saw in New Hampshire in this particular case with the state representative, Soborin Deschwanier, is simply a reflection of that broader trend across the country.
NPR's Tom Dreisbach, thanks so much for sharing your reporting with us this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Let's turn to some other news from the week. A federal judge ruled that she will not hold New Hampshire officials in contempt for suspending the state's motor vehicle inspections program. The vendor, Gordon Darby Holdings, that oversaw those inspections, sued the state in December for ending the annual inspections. NHPR's Todd Bookman has been following the story and joins us now. Morning, Todd.
Good morning, Rick.
Let's do news you can use first, Todd. Do I have to get my car inspected?
No. No, the Mustang is okay without a sticker right now, Rick. This ruling this week does not impact car owners in any way. You in fact, can't even get an inspection in New Hampshire if you want one.
Okay, so explain Gordon Darby's request to the judge in this case that the state be held in contempt. Contempt for what?
Well, there's been a lot of back and forth here. In the simplest terms, the Department of Transportation tried to comply with the judge's original order to restart the emissions testing program since the state, the judge ruled, was technically in violation of the Clean Air Act. But the executive council, which approves contracts, voted against actually awarding a contract to restart the emissions program. So this company, Gordon Darby, you know, they sued. They said the state is in contempt. They are flouting the judge's orders. That same judge this week, though, said that because the bureaucratic arm of New Hampshire did at least try to restart the program, they really can't be held in contempt, even if the political arm of government is ignoring the court, essentially.
Okay, so what's next for this case, Todd? I mean, what about the fate of inspections in New Hampshire?
Sure. So late yesterday, the First Circuit Court of Appeals actually weighed in on this issue and overturned the New Hampshire federal court's lower court's previous ruling trying to restart the program. Essentially, the First Circuit Court said there's little chance that Gordon Darby, the emissions testing company, is going to win this fight. So all signs at this point are likely, you know, pointing to the end of inspections in New Hampshire. The federal government has weighed in publicly and said they are fast-tracking this. And so we might get a formal end to this program by the end of this calendar year. But at this point, I don't think drivers should be scheduling any appointments for inspections.
Some other news, Portsmouth businessman and former gubernatorial candidate Jay Lucas facing legal action by the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission. Lucas was previously accused of embezzling funds from investors. Todd, can you tell us more about this latest legal trouble for Lucas?
Yeah, so the SEC weighed in this week. They filed a complaint, and they largely realleged what federal prosecutors have already accused Lucas of. He raised about $50 million from private investors, some of those New Hampshire residents, and he pledged to find essentially, you know, the good startup companies in the health and beauty sector. That didn't happen. Prosecutors allege that he was using a lot of the money on his own expenses, used new money to cover old debts, and that he didn't fully disclose his relationship with the CEO of one of the beauty startups. He would eventually marry that person. Jay Lucas he's pleaded not guilty, it's worth noting, but we couldn't get a comment from him this week.
Yeah, can you remind us of his interests here in New Hampshire, his other businesses? He's been involved in a lot of different things.
Yeah, he was the GOP's candidate for governor, actually, in 1998. He lost to Gene Shaheen. He's, you know, since then been in the business world, but he's also tried to paint himself as something of a philanthropist with a real focus on restoring small town America, kind of this Norman Rockwell vision. And that included a lot of time spent in Newport, the town he grew up in. He actually purchased the Eagle Times newspaper, which served the Upper Valley. Last year, NHPR wrote about how he wasn't paying employees at the Eagle Times, though, which led to a staff walkout, and eventually the paper shuttered. So I think there were signs along the way that he was having money troubles.
Yeah. Let's end with some fun news, Todd. I know in Manchester, this happened earlier this week.
Eddie coming in. He stops. He makes the catch. A no-hitter on a Tuesday night in April. Jackson Wentworth, Nate Garko, Irv Carter, and Kai Peterson button up the fifth no-no in New Hampshire history.
And his team announcer Chris Jarrod making the call there. The New Hampshire Fisher Cats pitching a no-hitter Tuesday night. So, Todd, who are they playing?
Yeah, so they were up against the Binghamton Rumble Ponies. There were about 2,000 or so fans in attendance in Manchester. They got to take in a treat. Wasn't the prettiest stat line for pitchers combined for 10 walks, 9 strikeouts, but zero hits.
Still,
that's what people will remember.
Yeah, still a no-hitter. How are the Fisher Cats doing so far this season?
Well, I just checked the stats this morning, and they remain in first place, so doing better than the Sox.
All right. Yeah, I was going to say it's better than a certain team down in Boston in the major leagues. All right, go Cats. Thanks for being here, Todd. I really appreciate your reporting.
Thank you, Rick.
That is NHPR's Todd Bookman. You can find more of his reporting, by the way, at nhpr.org. This is NHPR.